British Sky Broadcasting presents Robert De Niro and Dakota Fanning in Hide and Seek, voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. A title reads, The First Day of the New Year, New York City. A little girl in a red coat lies on her back on the green wooden boards of a playground roundabout. In her gloved hand, she clutches a china doll. Her cloudless blue eyes smile up at the cloudless blue of the sky and at the tops of the tall birches which seem to revolve overhead. A blonde-haired woman in a Burberry Mac leans in to spin the roundabout.
Faster?
No.
You're gonna slide off. You all right? Are you sliding?
Yeah.
No. If you're sliding, I'm gonna stop you.
No.
You okay?
A man appears carrying something from a food stall and stands smiling at the happy scene. The woman by the roundabout now stands alone in an elegant kitchen, wearing a black dress, a glass of red wine in her hand. She shakes a tablet from a plastic container, pops it, and washes it down with the wine. Her face seems to register relief. She rinses out her glass. She walks into a child's bedroom.
That's funny. I could have sworn I saw a little girl by the name of Emily come in here. Come out, wherever you are. Could she be hiding in the closet? I wonder where she could be. Maybe my eyes have deceived me.
I'm invisible, Mommy.
Well, if you're invisible, then how could I do this?
Did you know where I was?
Not a clue. You want Alex?
The woman hands Emily her china doll. She looks at the child and then lowers her eyes. The child looks up at her inquiringly.
What is it?
I love you more than anything else in the world. You know that, don't you?
I love you too. Make face. Please.
The woman grimaces comically.
Now go to sleep.
Okay.
The woman switches out the light and then turns in the doorway to cast one more look at her daughter. Then she closes the door.
Mommy!
Sorry. Good night.
The woman leaves the door slightly open. The girl smiles towards the shaft of light. The woman enters a room in which a man sits, looking through the eyepiece of a reflector telescope.
You coming to bed?
In a little while.
Something you want to talk about?
Some things are beyond therapy, David.
She gives him a somewhat withering look. He seems to ponder rather sadly as he watches her leave the room. She lies in a bath, lighted candles all around the tub. She seems to be deep in melancholy thought. David lies sleeping. A woman's hand lightly caresses his face. David is awakened either by the hand or the dreamed vision of people celebrating amid a cloud of golden balloons. He looks at his clock, which reads 2:06. He sits up and looks around. He is alone in the bed. He walks along the corridor of the apartment. He sees light coming from behind a half-opened door.
Honey?
David's eyes look troubled. He moves warily down the passageway towards the door. enters the bathroom. The bath is now enclosed by a glass screen through which the candle flames continue to flicker. David slides back one of the leaves. Emily's mother lies lifeless in the reddened water. David lurches desperately into the bath and lifts her up by the shoulders. He presses his face into her hair. David is unaware that behind him, framed in the bathroom doorway, clutching her china doll, stands Emily. Her startlingly blue eyes are wide open, taking in the dreadful scene. Her face is set in an impassive mask. Up onto the black screen comes a title reading New York City Children's Hospital. Emily sits surrounded by children but oblivious to them. Her eyes are wide open and her face expressionless. David stands observing her from a distance. Next to him is a young female doctor.
I should have seen it coming. All the signs were there.
The ones closest to you are the hardest to judge.
Oh, but I could have prevented it.
David, it's not your fault. How long have we known each other? Trust me when I tell you this. As difficult as it may seem, you're gonna have to try and start over.
We're gonna move. Upstate. The country.
It's not exactly what I meant by starting over. What about Emily? This is a traumatic time for her. I think it's important she stays here and works through this.
Oh, here she's flooded with memories. I need to expose her to a new environment, new things to do.
She'd be losing another person she depends on.
It's only an hour away. And you're always welcome to come and see her. And right now, I need to do what's right for Emily. I need to be a full-time dad.
David stands by the open rear hatch of a people carrier. The young female doctor helps Emily into the rear passenger seat.
I have a surprise for you.
Emily takes from her a marquetry box, which she opens, revealing a miniature revolving ballerina.
When I was your age, my mom gave me one just like that. And whenever I was feeling sad, I would open the lid, and all my sorrows went away. Do you like it? Give me a hug.
The girl leans over and hugs the woman.
You're gonna like it there. Right, let's go.
David shuts the boot. The woman smiles at Emily, who waves a gloved hand in farewell. The Manhattan skyline spreads out as a backdrop to titles in bold type. Just before each title fades, it is partially replicated in red scrawl like some kind of ghostly echo. The title Hide and Seek changes fully into the childlike red capitals. The people carrier speeds over a broad road bridge out of the city. It is now on a highway among trees. David sits at the wheel. In the rear of the vehicle, Emily sits gazing non-committally out of the window. An enormous long-haired cat sits in a wire travel basket and yawns cavernously. the people carrier glides along a street lined with quaint white-painted featherboard houses. A sign reads, "Welcome to Woodland, New York, population 2206. The people carrier pulls up in front of a neat, spacious house set in its own gardens among trees.
Come on, let's take a look.
Right on time. Dr. Calloway.
Mr. Haskins?
Hello. This is Sheriff Hafferty.
Sheriff?
He routinely checks on the houses up here, makes sure things run smoothly.
I see. Well, this is my daughter, Emily. This is Sheriff Hafferty.
Emily? How are you?
This is Mr. Haskins. He found us the house.
Oh, hello there, Emily. I think your dad did a good job picking the house.
She's still deciding.
Well, she sure is pretty.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, Woodland Estates is mainly a summer community. Maybe a little quiet up here till then. Hope that's not a problem.
Not at all.
Great. Let me show you around the back.
You ever spent much time in the country?
Not much. I used to camp when I was little, but I was always scared of the woods.
Nothing to be scared of in these woods. Picked a nice spot. Biggest house on the lake.
Sheriff, if you'd like to do the honors, let Dr. Calloway into his new home.
Figure out which key.
Did you see where my daughter went?
Emily! Emily! Emily!
Emily is standing at the bottom of a bank, looking into the surrounding woodland. David goes to join her, leaving Haskins and the sheriff looking on.
Honey? You okay? Come on, let's go back. Come on. Come on. Mr. Haskins, Sheriff, we'll take it from here.
It is nighttime. A light shines from an upstairs window of the house. Inside, David and Emily sit at table. The china doll sits propped up by Emily's place. Her Coke remains undrunk. She toys with a pile of spaghetti.
Spaghetti and meatballs is your favorite dish. You're not hungry?
Emily casts a sidelong look at David. He makes strenuous attempts at pulling comedy faces. Emily remains unmoved.
I'd like to go to bed now.
David shrugs in disappointment. Emily walks away carrying her doll.
I'll come up and kiss you goodnight.
The ballerina twirls. David enters the seemingly empty room.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I saw a little girl by the name of Emily coming here. I wonder where she's hiding. Could she be...
Under the bed!
No. Could she be... hiding? Let's see, where could she be hiding? Could she be hiding in the... closet?
The cat leaps out of the closet as David yanks open the door. Emily emerges from the bathroom and turns expressionless eyes on David as he kneels on the floor looking slightly foolish. She tucks herself and her doll up in bed.
Okay. Since it's the first night in the new house, I thought it would be a good time to start a new diary. Each day you can write down your feelings and thoughts, and then one day you can look back and see how much they've changed. I love you more than anything else in the world, sweetheart. You know that.
That's what Mommy said. Before she killed herself.
Sweetheart, she meant what she said. And so do I. You want me to put this over here? All right. Good night.
David leaves the door slightly ajar, throwing a shaft of light which illuminates Emily's left eye. It is daylight. Inside the house, David walks along a passage and through a door marked private. He surveys piles of packing cases. He pulls up the wooden blind. He tears bubble wrap from an antique captain's chair. Through the window, Emily walks away from the house and down into the woodland, trailing her doll as she goes. David hangs up his framed diploma from the Society of New York Psychologists. He unwraps a pair of stereo headphones. Emily walks through the forest, seemingly pursuing a large red butterfly. It leads her over a rise and flutters into the mouth of some kind of cave. Emily stands staring, transfixed, and then drops her doll. David sits at a large desk, wearing his headphones and writing in a large notebook. He has written, "Emily is currently displaying signs of difficulty with her transition." He stops, having seemingly become aware of a stain on the palm of his writing hand. He inspects it and then gets out a handkerchief, with which he carefully wipes his hand.
Emily? Emily? Em? Emily!
Oh, there you are.
Come on, sweetheart, we're going into town. We have some errands to do.
Emily has mysteriously reappeared indoors. Her feet leave muddy prints on the parquet. A woman appears at the front door.
Hello.
Hi. Hi there. I'm Laura. I live next door.
Oh, I'm David. How are you?
Here, these are for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
My husband and I made the preserves ourselves.
I didn't even realize anyone else lived up here.
Well, it does get pretty quiet in the off-season.
Oh, this is my daughter, Emily. Emily, say hello to Laura. She's our neighbor.
Isn't she adorable?
You gonna say hi? Well, she gets a little shy around new faces.
I understand. It's gonna be a real treat having both of you here. Oh, you're on your way out. I won't keep you. If you need anything, don't hesitate to stop by.
Same here. And thank you for all the preserves, the peach and apricot preserves.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Emily continues staring wide-eyed at the retreating figure of Laura. David is refueling the people carrier. At the edge of the adjacent small lake, a blonde woman sits on a bench, while a little girl in a similarly bright red coat to Emily's swings high on a swing.
Did you listen to me?
David looks intrigued, possibly slightly spooked by the resonances the scene evokes. He moves closer. Finally, the woman turns her head to him.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a daughter the same age. She's in the car.
Oh. I'm Elizabeth. Elizabeth Young.
Hi. David Calloway. How are you?
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Are you visiting?
I just moved up from the city.
Oh. Usually it's the other way around.
I know. Is she your kid?
Oh, no. No. She's my sister's kid. I'm the honorary babysitter.
Watch!
Amy, be careful. Amy. Amy.
All right?
Emily looks on from the car, the ghost of a smile playing momentarily on her lips.
That's very funny. Oh my God, you're gonna make me nuts, you know that? Is your daughter this crazy?
David is tucking Emily up in bed.
Where's Alex?
I don't like her anymore.
Did I just hear what I think I heard?
Are you mad at Daddy?
No, I'm not mad at all, honey. I think it's great.
You do?
Yeah.
Good. Because I have a new friend.
A new friend? Okay. Let me guess. Is it, Veronica?
No.
Is it, Patty? Is it...
He's not a doll.
He's...
Not a doll.
Hey. Okay, well, if he's not a doll, then who is he?
He doesn't want me to talk about him.
Doesn't want you to talk about him? Well, what if I promise to keep it a secret? Could you tell me then?
Emily considers, then nods.
So, what's his name?
He told me to call him Charlie.
Charlie? Oh, that's an interesting name. Charlie. When did you meet Charlie?
Today.
When we went to town?
It was before that.
Before that, huh? Is he here right now?
I think he's sleeping.
Okay. Well, in that case, we better not wake him. Hmm?
It's not unusual for a traumatized child to create imaginary friends.
I know. I just wish he'd confide in me instead of using fantasy.
Trauma causes pain. Eventually, the mind will find a way to release it.
No kidding. Don't forget, I'm the one who taught you that stuff.
As a matter of fact, you did, yes. Just have fun with her, David. Play with her. That's what she needs.
In a shower of light snow, David emerges from the house carrying a plastic bag of rubbish. He opens the lid of the bin and is brought up short by something he sees inside. He reaches in and pulls out Alex, Emily's doll. The doll's porcelain face has been brutally smashed. David looks appalled and throws a glance over his shoulder back towards the house. He sadly dumps the doll back in the bin, puts the trash on top and drops the lid.
These are beginner runs.
It is daylight. David is buying fishing tackle.
Two rods, 41.50 each. Sounds about so.
David looks out and sees Sheriff Hafferty leaning into the people carrier window chatting. The sheriff looks up and half smiles at him.
Just bait and tackle.
David picks up a ticket from his windscreen.
Sheriff!
Hafferty shrugs officiously.
You parked in a handicapped zone.
I didn't even realize. Could you give me a break? I didn't realize.
Enjoy your day.
Emily sits inside the open rear of the people carrier, gazing sardonically at David's powerless frustration.
So much for small-town hospitality, honey. Shut the door.
We broke the law.
I know we broke the law. Shut the door.
Hafferty gets into his police jeep, looking on superciliously.
Maybe the Loch Ness Monster.
What?
Know what that is? It's in Scotland. This is a good spot.
David and Emily pitch up at the side of a calm lake. David gets out a book. Emily lays down her new fishing rod and line. She picks up a large black beetle, which she holds up for inspection between finger and thumb. David looks up in surprised distaste as he sees his daughter impaling the insect on her fish hook.
Honey, what are you doing? Do you think that's a good idea?
Emily smiles slightly at her handiwork.
Emily, we have bait.
See?
Emily dangles the beetle in David's face.
All right.
Did you have a nice time today?
It's okay.
Just okay? Well, then, what could we have done to make it better? What if Charlie was there? Would he have made it better?
He's a lot of fun.
Fun like how?
Fun like mommy.
David's face crumples slightly as he struggles to absorb this.
It's a little stuffy in here.
Emily lies in bed, watching her father struggle to raise the sash window of her bedroom.
Stuck.
It's okay, Daddy.
The porch lantern swings in a stiffening breeze. David lies asleep in his bed. Dream images flash up of a celebration. People in black tie, a cloud of golden balloons. David and his late wife kiss. A woman's hand gently strokes his right cheek and he awakes. David looks over to his digital clock, which just then clicks from 2:05 to 2:06. He looks around and listens. He puts on his glasses and gets up. He walks to his bedroom door and looks out. Across the landing, light comes from behind a half-open door. David moves cautiously towards the light. David enters the bathroom to find a horribly reminiscent scene of candles around the bathtub, which is shrouded by a plastic curtain. He whips this back to find scrawled on the tiles in red letters, "You let her die." Emily has appeared, wide-eyed, in the doorway. David looks at her with wounded incredulity.
Emily, why would you do this?
I didn't do it.
What do you mean you didn't do it? There's nobody here but us.
It wasn't me.
This is your writing. These are your crayons, honey. It's all right. Just tell me. You don't have to lie to me.
Not lying.
Okay, well, if you didn't do it, then who did?
It was Charlie.
She thinks I'm responsible for Allison's death.
It's Charlie that holds you responsible. Use him, David. Use him to get through to her. He's the key.
I have to go. I think I found her a real friend.
Really? That's great. Call me if you need me, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Amy. Glad you came. Em, we have guests. Emily.
Emily walks mechanically down the stairs, her face blank.
This is Elizabeth.
Hi, Emily.
Emily, this is Amy.
Hi.
Emily switches on a brief smile.
Hi.
Coffee maker has a mind of its own.
God.
David brings in a tray of coffee and gestures for Elizabeth to sit on the sofa.
So is that your wife?
David clocks the photo and nods reluctantly.
She passed away.
I'm sorry.
No matter how many times I say it, it still sounds so strange.
Must be hard on Emily.
Have you ever been married?
Actually, I just got divorced. I'm living with my sister and her husband until I can figure out my next move. Best way to get over the past is to start something new.
That's why we're here.
Baby! Wrapped up in toilet paper, put it in the incubator, what shall it be? Oh, by the way, this is Penelope.
Thanks.
You're gonna like it here. It's a lot of fun. Well, it's not always fun, but there are lots of fun things to do.
Amy takes down one of Emily's dolls.
She's beautiful. What's her name?
Emily remains turned away, blanking her.
And you don't talk much, do you?
You shouldn't be here.
Why not?
You could get hurt.
Emily thrusts towards Amy the hideously mangled, eyeless face of a doll. Amy bursts out through the front door and goes down to wait by Elizabeth's VW Beetle.
God.
Okay.
So you have my number.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I guess I should go.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Emily!
David turns back to Emily, who sits on the stairs.
So, what'd you think of Amy? Did you like her?
I don't need any more friends.
David is left alone in the hallway looking troubled. In the kitchen, David washes up at the sink by the window. He looks out through the net curtain to see Emily outside playing hopscotch alone. David's attention is caught by something. He moves over to the kitchen table on which sits a knife block. A large chef's knife is half out of the block. David carefully slides the knife back into place, looking puzzled. David continues tidying up and then glances once again through the kitchen window. A man now sits on a log next to where Emily is playing.
Good, good.
Hi.
Hey. Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude.
Oh,
I'm Stephen, Laura's husband from next door.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
It's David, right?
Yes, it's David.
Just wanted to say hi.
Nice to meet you, Stephen.
Figure, you know, we're going to be neighbors, you might as well be neighborly, right?
Right. Well, you're going to have to excuse us, Stephen. We have a busy day ahead of us. Honey, come on. Emily. Let's go.
Emily smiles coyly at Stephen, who stands looking somewhat embarrassed.
Bye.
Listen, if you need anything, just give a shout, will you?
Okay. Thank you. See you around.
David?
Yeah.
You're very lucky to have such a beautiful daughter.
Thank you.
Stephen appears almost tearful as he turns to walk away. David takes Emily back indoors.
You remember what I told you about not talking to strangers?
He's not a stranger.
What do you mean?
He's our neighbor.
As far as I'm concerned, he's a stranger, honey. Don't walk away when I'm talking to you. I'm telling you something.
I'm sorry, Daddy. Weren't you finished?
No, I wasn't finished. What I'm saying is, it's very important for you to listen when I tell you something.
Okay.
Okay?
David sets a green enamel kettle on the stove and lights the gas. He walks through into the next room. David looks towards the ceiling. David walks back into the kitchen where the kettle is already steaming furiously and spitting out boiling water.
What are you doing, sweetheart?
Nothing.
What's so funny? Is Charlie here?
He just left.
Where'd he go?
Emily indicates the window. Net curtains blow in the breeze, coming through the wide-open sash.
Did you open that?
I thought you did.
David moves towards the open window. He leans out and looks out into the windy night. He checks the drop. He draws back inside and closes and locks the window.